Atheist Nomads, episode 369.
When the state won't take a stand, depend on civil unrest.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
And I actually feel pretty good tonight.
Whoa, that's crazy.
It's amazing what a good panic attack will do.
You had one today?
Oh, yeah. That whole time I was out in the garage earlier polishing rock, that was because I was, like, freaking out.
Oh, no.
Okay, I love you, babe.
2 days in a row. Yeah. That sucks.
Yep, but they come in pairs. Threes. Packs. Anyway, I'm sure it's over.
But we went camping again.
Yes, we did.
It was mostly we wanted another timeout with the trailer.
Heck yeah.
And also, it got really smoky here, so we were trying to escape the smoke and found that 150 miles to the north, the air quality was pretty decent.
Yeah, if you look at where all that smoke from the California fires is going, it's going straight, northeast.
Yeah.
Right to Idaho. We got swamped by some of it. And I was coughing a lot and clearing my throat and having a hard time, and so we booked it out of here.
Yeah.
And found a place that also includes lots of rock hounding. So I was happy. And fishing, which, of course, we didn't even get a bite. We're terrible at fishing. But it was fun.
No, it's mostly that mornings are chaos, and mornings are when the best fishing is.
Yes.
But with a two-year-old, mornings are kind of chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the news, we have Idaho's special legislative session.
Special.
So, as you may recall, about 6 weeks ago or so, a group of far right-wing radical members of the state legislature who, completely related to this, have more recently been identified to be members or at least affiliated with or at least like on Facebook, anti-government militia groups.
Duh.
1/4 of the Idaho House of Representatives.
Yep. Yeah.
Basically the Idaho Panhandle contingent.
They're all 3%ers.
3%ers, the real 3%ers.
Because they're 25% of the legislature, so that's a little skewed.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, our lieutenant governor. So there's that. But they had that little thing with Ammon Bundy and his group, and they met to call together a special session to impeach the governor for
making us wear masks.
Not even making us wear masks, for issuing stay-at-home orders and not allowing all bars to be open and having any restrictions whatsoever. The governor did call a special session. Under the Idaho State Constitution, special sessions can only be called by the governor and then can only cover the issues that the governor called the special legislative session for.
Right. It's a one-topic deal. You don't get to have a whole new legislative session.
Right. So the topics available for this session are how to handle this fall's election and how to handle liability for schools and businesses related to COVID.
Yeah.
Those are the questions. The governor asked the legislature to figure these out. So the first day of the legislative session started off with a group of armed protesters.
Armed.
Yes.
With guns.
People with guns breaking their way into the Idaho State Capitol, forcing their way into the auditorium, smashing a window in the process. This is an armed mob storming the state capitol during a legislative session?
Pretty much everything that, like, you could include in treason, besides actually shooting a legislator.
If there was a scenario where cops shooting someone makes sense, it's when it's an armed mob trying to force their way into a legislative meeting.
And I get it if you are brandishing weapons at a Second Amendment rally. I do not understand why you have your weapons out during this.
It's an open carry state.
Yep. That's a good way to lose your open carry status right there.
Yeah. Well, unless a quarter of the legislature want to overthrow the government anyway.
Oh, that's true.
So, all right. So this group led by Ammon Bundy, actually several groups, one of which was led by Ammon Bundy, were shouting throughout the opening of the session.
They heckled.
The rule for attending in the gallery is you must be silent. They were also requiring that everybody follow social distancing, and they were not wanting an audience. They had a section set up for the media where everybody was wearing masks, and they wanted to keep the auditorium or the viewing gallery available for members of the legislature who needed more space. And instead, this group crowded in. They then broke out into committees, and one of the committees, this group forced their way in, crowding it enough that they had to relocate to the Lincoln Auditorium.
I mean, this is just, it was pure chaos, pure treasonous chaos.
They get to the Lincoln Auditorium, and they continue to crowd, particularly the legislators who were wearing masks.
Which should have been all of them.
One of whom felt unsafe and left.
Yeah, if you're not going to get shot, you're going to get COVID.
Yep. So up to this point, there have been no arrests. Up to this point in the story, there had been no arrests. The Boise State, or the City of Boise police did respond in riot gear, which, that is a case where riot gear makes sense. Armed mob breaks into the Capitol. Send cops in riot gear. I am totally behind that.
Yeah. That's SWAT team stuff.
Yeah. Like, I am all for cutting down on police funding and demilitarizing the police. But at the point that you have armed mobs, yeah, there should be some cops that can handle that.
Yeah.
Until we can
there
get...
There shouldn't be armed mobs.
Until we can get to a place in our country where we don't have armed mobs breaking into a legislative session.
And threatening people.
Yeah. When we can get to that point where that doesn't happen, yes, then we can really scale that down. Because you can't get the National Guard there fast enough.
No.
Okay, so eventually they end for the day and Bundy refuses to leave.
Like He's a petulant child.
Asked to leave and he refuses to get out of his chair.
Do you remember what his, do you know what his excuse was for that?
I haven't seen one.
I was wondering something about media having access to these sessions. And civilians should have access to these sessions as much as any media. But that to me, that doesn't really make sense because the media is there to report to the citizenry.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, he sat down and wouldn't move. To the point where he wouldn't stand up when the police tried to move him.
Yeah,
they started to try and physically carry him out. He's not exactly a small lad.
Nope.
So they just zip tied him to a swivel chair and
yeah.
Wheeled him out.
So this is, by this time, it's the Idaho State Police that have taken over.
Wearing masks.
Good. All wearing masks. Yep. They're wearing masks and their super wide brim state trooper hats. And they wheeled him all the way through the Capitol building, down the ramps.
I'd say it's a walk of shame, but
down the sidewalk.
It was the most boring perp walk ever.
Across the street, down another sidewalk, and then finally, four of them had to pick him up out of the chair to carry him into the car because he played dead.
Yep.
Like a petulant child. He went limp.
He's such a dick.
All right, so that was Tuesday.
Yeah.
So he gets arrested, gets charged with trespassing and resisting arrest. Which, okay, a lot of times resisting arrest charges are bullshit. This is not one of those times.
Yeah, when you try to pull a toddler move, when the police try to take you to the car, that's resisting.
Yeah. And so they do bail or he gets released. I don't know that part of the story. So today
I'm sure the Freedom Foundation bailed him.
So they met again. He showed up again. He refused to leave again.
Oh, again.
He was trespassed out of the state capitol again. This time he actually got up and walked. And then was issued a no trespass order, barring him from the premises for the next year.
It's Ammon Bundy. It should be lifetime.
And he's now been charged with a misdemeanor.
Yep.
There should be multiple misdemeanors.
Now, what people are suspecting is going to happen is he bailed out of that, or is going to bail out of that, and he will be back.
Yeah.
In order to get the felony, in order to rile up his fans.
Yep.
He's playing a martyr here. And at some point, you're like, well, we don't want to give them the power of martyrdom. But at the other point, if he was made a martyr 2, 3, 4 years ago, this wouldn't be happening now.
Right.
Take him off the street. Make him a martyr. I don't care. People will forget who he is within a year.
The Bundy Ranch standoff. That was, 2012?
Yeah.
Long time ago. Armed standoff between police and the Bundy family and some of their friends. Ammon Bundy was one of them. Armed standoff with federal agents.
They're white, so, you know, they survived.
So, standoff continued for about a month before finally everybody stood down. He should have been arrested and taken to prison then.
Yep.
Not just jail, prison. Didn't happen. So what's he do next? He and a group of cronies take over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Occupied a federal installation, destroyed American Indian artifacts, destroyed government property. He did get arrested with that one. And then a jury in Portland acquitted him.
That was such bullshit. I cannot believe. I still can't. I still get red. Because, okay, so just to put, you know, a little spin on it. The BLM protest that we were having, some kids graffitied the Capitol building. That was determined to be over $1,000 worth of damage to the building. They both got felonies.
Mm-hmm.
This guy literally tore apart a refuge building, tore up the plumbing, shit everywhere, and he got nothing.
Right.
He was acquitted.
Yep.
What? Fast forward a couple more years. Here he is again.
Terrorizing the governor. Local
going to
cops,
his house?
The head of the Idaho Department of Health? And this is at people's homes. Like, he's a menace. And in all practicality, he should have been arrested for insurrection years ago. Instead, because that's what happened with the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, was the charges ended up being so watered down that they didn't actually fit.
Prosecutor really screwed up on that. They I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
They were trying to make it not let it become a political thing, when rebellion against the government is a political thing. It just is. There's no way around it. So yeah, he's going to keep going. He's going to keep pulling these stunts until he's in prison for life or dead. And the longer he's allowed to continue, the more followers he's going to get.
Yeah, this is not something you want to... Well, obviously, this isn't something you want to let fester.
He's just going to keep getting more bold until someone's dead.
Yeah. Which is... he's trying to do himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to get shot. It would make him so much of a hero.
Oh, heck, when they left the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, he was engaged in a shootout with the cops. One of his
friends
died. Is
this all just a desperate call for help?
He wants the government overthrown. He wants to be the martyr of a revolution.
Yeah, yeah, that's cute. Not gonna happen. We have enough problems, all right?
Well, Texas certainly does, and I'm not trying to make light of the hurricane, major Ooh. Hurricane, that as of recording is about to hit the Texas-Louisiana border. So if you are affected by that, you have our sympathies, and I hope you stay safe.
Yeah, because, I mean, with as big as this thing's going to be, there's no, you shouldn't live on the beach. Well, it doesn't matter when you're 30 miles inland.
Yeah.
You don't expect to get hit by a hurricane.
Yeah. In North Texas, though, the North Texas Poison Center region in particular has dealt with 46 cases in August, as of August 24, of people drinking bleach.
Now, is that back again?
Yep.
Is it the autism thing?
No, this is COVID.
Oh my God. Now, I have to admit, I was tempted to chug some hand sanitizer the other day when I accidentally inhaled a fly in a vault toilet. That was disgusting.
Yes.
It would have made me throw up.
And that's by design, because hand sanitizer is denatured to make you gag and throw up.
So awful.
So that you won't drink it, because we don't want you to be able to buy alcohol that you could drink. I don't get it.
Okay. It's so that children can't swallow it to a point where they poison themselves. They will throw it up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not for, the reasonable adult.
Except there have been cases with hand sanitizer that have methanol in it that has poisoned children.
Yes.
Who have drank it, because we've got some bad hand sanitizer out there.
From China.
Probably China. Yeah.
Yep.
It should all be ethanol and then the denaturing crap, which, again, it's 60% alcohol by volume minimum to be effective. Kids aren't going to be drinking it.
Kids will drink whatever the heck they can. They'll put whatever they can in their mouths.
Right, but denaturing it to make it bitter, if it's 60% alcohol by volume, that is going to burn like hell.
Yeah, I agree. I bet it's probably somebody who owns the denaturing plant who is like, oh, you don't know, you really need this in there. Kids might chug it.
Ah, man. But anyway.
Teens.
But you would have been doing that in that case to induce vomiting, right?
So gross. Yes.
Okay. This is people drinking bleach to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. Sorry. That just strips your intestines.
Yep. 46 cases in North Texas alone that involved calls to or alerts being sent to the poison center.
I feel so sorry for poison control. They're like, really? This is not what we're here for.
Yeah. Ring, ring. Hi, poison control. My insides hurt. What'd you do? Drink bleach.
I like that. What did you do? Did you smack him with a newspaper after?
COVID-19 is serious. Drinking bleach won't help.
Yeah, it's kind of. I think it's a lazy person's way out. They're thinking that, this is something easy to do. Because nobody can stand 6 months of not knowing.
Okay, so the FDA warning on drinking chlorine dioxide, aka bleach, is that it can lead to severe vomiting, severe diarrhea, life-threatening low blood pressure caused by dehydration, and acute liver failure.
So, I mean, what's worse?
If the prevention can kill you, and I think if you're drinking enough bleach to actually have any kind of quote-unquote effect, it's probably going to be worse for you than COVID.
Yeah. That's just sad. These little pocket communities where Facebook groups are like, hey, this is a thing.
Yeah. Okay, here's what's even more crazy. They've had only a 71% in cases involving bleach.
What? 71% cases?
The Texas Poison Center Network has only seen a 71% increase in cases involving consuming bleach.
Okay.
It hasn't even doubled the amount of people who drink bleach. What I would like to see on this one is this now adults drinking bleach? And were the earlier cases all children?
I don't know. I'm confused as why you're surprised that it's only 71% increase. That seems like a lot.
That out of the 46 cases so far that they normally would have had 20 or 30?
20 or 30 what?
Cases.
Out of the 71 cases, they only had 20 or 30?
No. They've had 46 cases this month.
Okay.
They are seeing a 71% increase in cases involving drinking bleach over normal.
Okay.
Which would mean out of that 46 cases, about 30 would be the normal rate of people drinking bleach.
Or being poisoned. Oh, yeah. Okay. Which happens when little kids get into it. And
so it sounds like this is adults now drinking bleach.
Math is hard. That was not clear. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. 71% increase in bleach products cases and 63% involving other household cleaners. Yeah. Don't drink them.
We need to bring back the, what was his, the little green sticker with the icky face on. Mr. Ick? I think it was Mr. Ick.
Yeah.
Mr. Yuck.
Mr. Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Yuck.
Let's I remember those. To make a effective disinfecting solution, you could do that with 4 teaspoons of bleach in 1 quart of water.
Okay.
And even that you should not drink.
Nope. Because you don't want to kill the good bacteria in your gut.
Yeah, like for
or strip the lining.
For a pop-up camper, we have to use bleach in our water tank and water system to clean it at the start of each year. And you dilute it about as far as you can to still be effective. And then you flush the whole system again. And then you fill it up, to which point the amount left in there wouldn't be higher than common city drinking water.
Yeah.
Because the amount to get it down to be safe is like almost nothing.
Mr. Yuck, Y-U-K. Mr. Yuck means no. Oh my gosh, you can get a Mr. Yuck mask. What I want is a calendar, a 2020 calendar with a Mr. Yuck sticker just stuck on the front of it. Do not open.
A Florida judge has granted a temporary injunction on behalf of the Florida Education Association against the Florida Education Commissioner's executive order requiring all schools to reopen. That order required all schools to reopen at full capacity in August, period. The judge ruled that, quote, the order is unconstitutional to the extent it arbitrarily disregards safety, denies local school board decisions, or denies local school boards decision making with respect to reopening brick and mortar schools, and conditions funding on an approved reopening plan with a start date in August. In other words, you have to have a plan and get it approved without any time to create a plan and get it approved. Which would mean the goal is, your plan is, we're reopening.
Yep. Even in places that are online only are still getting COVID cases. I don't even know how that happens. How? But it's happened. Freaking teachers, I guess. I don't know. And then the ones that are half open and half online. Yeah, no, there's a lot of COVID going on with that. It's been a week.
And again, I want to stress that for parents that are frustrated with this, I get it. Whichever side of it you're on, I get it. There are no good answers here. What I think this ruling goes to show is that while there are no good answers, what Florida had was a really, really bad one.
Yeah. Florida. Florida and Idaho, hand in hand.
Like, this isn't any, like, calling balls and strikes. This is just, they're just calling the ones that are clear, definite, absolute strikes.
That was a terrible idea.
Like, if it's a full-on swing and a miss, we're going to call that one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And yeah, there's cases. There are going to be cases. Schools are petri dishes and incredibly effective vectors for spreading disease. Education is important. Socialization is important. Life is difficult.
Allowing parents to work is important.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah. You know, if we had gone with the approach of countries that are reopening much better, that would have been a complete shutdown of everything for 1 month across the entire country. And then creating the infrastructure to do tons and tons of testing and contact tracing.
How is New Zealand doing these days?
They're seeing an increase in cases.
Yeah.
They went, I think, 3 months without any.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty awesome.
They now have cases popping up. They're thinking it's coming in on frozen food from China.
That sucks.
Yep.
That really sucks.
Yep. It's going to be fascinating to see what the history books say.
Yeah. The world that our child is going to have to grow up in is going to look dystopian.
We only know what we know so far, which seems to be we only know what doesn't really seem to work.
Yeah.
But we do have enough evidence from places like New Zealand and South Korea and Singapore and Thailand and Vietnam that lots of testing, contact tracing, targeted quarantines, and making sure that people's basic needs are met so they don't have financial incentives forcing them to go to work is what helps.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that seems to be working. But you have to have it under control first for that to start. And that ship sailed here maybe before we even knew what coronavirus was.
Before we knew it had a name.
Yep.
Yep, probably.
So among the religious groups to have gotten Paycheck Protection Program funds was Jim Baker's televangelism ministry.
Of course. Got to pay those phone people.
$1.7 million is what he got.
Such bullshit.
He is in the middle of a lawsuit over one of his guests talking about a fake COVID-19 cure. He had a stroke in May. And, okay, it was $650,000 to $1.7 million. We don't know how much exactly it was because those numbers haven't been released, just ranges. But they had to certify in the application that they weren't engaged in any activity that was illegal under federal, state, or local law.
Including snake oil sales.
People looking at Jim Baker know that he's gotten in trouble for fraud or been really close to fraud or actively involved in fraud a lot.
Yeah, this is bread and butter.
And having someone on his program trying to sell fake cures is fraud.
Yes.
That is illegal. So he may end up losing that money.
Good. Should have never gotten it in the first place.
Unfortunately, they didn't do any vetting beforehand. It was all honor system.
Guess who's not honorable?
Televangelists?
The criminals? The fraudsters?
Yeah. Grifters.
Ooh, nice.
That was the term they used to describe Steve Bannon and his co-conspirators on Opening Argument.
Nice.
Opening Arguments.
I like that.
Yeah. A federal judge, Barbara Rothstein of the Western District of Washington, has put an injunction against Betsy DeVos's latest rules.
Oh?
Yep. So the CARES Act had a provision to allow federal aid to go to private schools based on the number of disadvantaged students they enroll.
Okay.
This,
because they're notoriously anti-disadvantaged children.
No, this is actually a common thing, apparently, for during times of economic difficulty for private schools to get some extra money to cover kids whose parents don't have the money to actually support them going to those schools.
Okay.
To keep them from kicking out all the poor kids.
Okay.
Now, private schools and religious private schools are in generally, well, especially until recently, two separate categories. Where it used to be private schools were one thing, church schools were a different thing.
Yeah.
And DeVos is trying to change the rules to... No, it's based on total number of students.
More money for the bigger private schools, no matter what.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All coming from the education department budget.
Dude, that's our money.
Yep. To give money to religious schools based on the number of doctor's kids they have.
Yeah. Which is a lot these days. A lot of people pull their kids out of public school systems.
Oh, heck, my the school I grew up going to had, not the boarding school, the local one in Grants Pass, had, okay, actually, the boarding school, the, I'd say about half of the kids were from what most people would describe as upper middle class to upper class families.
Half?
Half.
Wow, that is
the rest of us,
well to do.
The rest of us worked in the mill.
Yep.
And but the junior academy, which covered kindergarten through 10th grade, I went to from 3rd grade through 10th grade, had on, you know, generally there'd be maybe 10% of the student body were from non-Adventist families, who all had, almost all had doctor as a title.
Yeah.
Those were the ones whose parents would come and pick them up in Lexuses.
Yeah. Right. Every school has those people.
So this program would include those kids in it, the kids whose parents are still paying full tuition. Not the kids who are going on scholarships or with some kind of financial aid where the school only charges them a small amount of the tuition. Even that, I think, is bullshit, because no federal education money should be going to private schools at all. Personally, I don't think private schools should even exist.
They'll always exist, whether they're legal or not.
Yeah.
But in this case, yeah, definitely no federal money. We need that to educate the people who can't afford it.
Yep. So anyway, the ruling covered that, no, this is a very clear law, and the education department regulations are also very clear, and she is trying to do something different than what is very clearly written. She can't do that. Congress sets funding rules. It's up to the executive department to spend that money as determined by Congress.
I'm actually surprised that that hasn't gone through. Something like that hasn't gone through. They've tried. There have been bills introduced, I'm sure.
Yeah. Still hasn't. That one hasn't changed yet. Jerry Falwell Jr. has now resigned.
Okay. Finally.
Well, some more came up in the news.
Oh.
Okay, so first off, I want to provide the extra detail of the woman who also had her pants open in the picture with him, whose arm he had around, was his wife's assistant.
Okay.
Their pool boy went to the media to talk about the decade of him fucking Mrs. Falwell while Mr. Falwell watched.
Okay. Isn't that kind of their business?
Right before that, though, Jerry Falwell went to the media himself to talk about the affair that his wife had without any involvement of his with the pool boy.
Well, that's the thing about cuckolding is you're not involved. You're purposely not involved.
Uh-huh.
Thus making you involved.
And by saying not involved, he didn't say he didn't know about it, just that he wasn't involved in it. At least not physically involved in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that this guy's, you know, head of this Liberty University and, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was getting money for being, you know, a pure righteous soul, I'd say if that's what gets him off, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, him being on a party, hooking up with his wife's assistant, getting drunk.
She probably knew about it.
While his wife is fucking the pool boy.
I mean, that's the classic Days of Our Lives.
If they were working at, say, Harvard University or UC Berkeley, I don't think anybody would care.
No.
It wouldn't be newsworthy.
Not really.
It's the fact that he's head of a Christian university that prohibits alcohol drinking, any sex outside of marriage, any homosexual activity, and would describe him and another man being in the same room while one of them is having sex with his wife as probably they would say that's kind of gay. That's not getting what that is, but that's probably would be what Liberty would call it.
Hey, he's not going to Liberty, right? He's not a student of Liberty. He's allowed to do whatever the hell he wants, apparently.
Faculty all have to agree, and administrators all have to agree to live by that same code of conduct that students
well,
have to.
Yeah, okay. So he got busted. He resigned.
Yeah. And initially, it was reports were leaked that he had had resigned. Then he came out and said, no, those were false, even though those reports were corroborated by three independent sources who had all seen the letter.
They hadn't told him, huh? Like, but no, I didn't. I haven't resigned. What? No. Oh, you guys are kicking me out. Okay. Yeah, I'll sign the letter.
Then he went ahead and said that, yes, he was resigning, and then the university announced that they had accepted his resignation. So.
Freaking brilliant.
Yeah. If you want to know who to look for who's doing something that they would condemn, look for the people. Well, okay, that's an obvious one. If you want to see who has a problem with, or who's doing something, look for what they're condemning.
Yeah.
And if it's a conservative Republican or conservative Christian, which are one and the same, that's who's doing it and condemning it.
It's a weird guilt thing.
Yeah. Yep. Now, to add to it, he had that position at that university because his dad founded it.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's like the stereotypical son who just wastes all of his dad's money and all of his dad's power on getting off and getting rich.
And hobnobbing with the president.
Yeah. So, of course, because they probably had the same nanny or something. I mean, it's all sorts of stuff that.
Yeah.
Unless Trump is old enough to be his dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess that doesn't quite work, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. All right. And.
Sorry. Trumped up charges. I just think that that's hilarious.
Richard Spencer, who we haven't talked about in a while on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
He came to prominence for being punchable.
Yeah.
That's that... really what it started with, was for being punchable.
Did he get egg or pie thrown at him at some point? Or was that somebody else?
I think he's the one that got punched.
He's straight up, I think, yeah, because we were all making jokes about, you know, punching him, and you were all like, no, we shouldn't incite
about punching Nazis.
Punching Nazis, and...
He was the Nazi who got punched.
So good.
So, yeah, the punchable Nazi. He was one of the key figureheads, one of the leaders of the alt-right movement. He was one of the leading organizers of the Unite the Right rally. You know, that white supremacist rally that Trump said had good people on both sides that left some protesters against their rally dead after a white supremacist drove a car through the protesters.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. This is the Richard Spencer we're talking about. He wrote, quote, "The MAGA slash alt-right movement is over. I made mistakes. Trump is an obvious disaster, but mainly the paradigm contained flaws that we are now able to perceive, and it needs to end. So be patient. We'll have another day in the sun. We need to recover and return in a new form." He also said that he will never flip his principles.
Except for what he don't know literally what that means. Just did.
And he endorsed Joe Biden for president.
Okay. That's one of those endorsements that leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
The Biden campaign has declined the endorsement.
That's funny, because it's a purely and symbolic thing.
Yeah.
You're like, I support you. And they're like, we don't even want you to say that. Don't even look at us, please. He's that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sound of rats trying to get off the ship, I believe.
He wrote on his Biden for President sticker, "I'm on Team Joe. Richard Spencer, quote, liberals are clearly more competent," end quote.
Really? Really? I mean, that even has like an insulting tone to it. That's just like sarcastic almost. Yeah. I don't like this guy.
So one of the things I think is worth...
And yes, liberals are clearly more competent.
One of the things I think is worth...
That's not true, necessarily.
...remembering is the alt-right was largely made up of by Bernie bros.
Yeah. They won't admit that, but...
A lot of them were... The reason why they were alt-right and not just right is because... They had a different view on things. A lot of, or most of them, were white supremacists. Eventually, they were all white supremacists. But they didn't necessarily follow all of the right-wing propaganda. A lot of people in the alt-right movement were atheists or otherwise non-religious. It was very much a movement of, like, this weird secular racist thing that politically they didn't really care about left or right. It's just they weren't welcome on the left and thought Trump was promising. And they are now seeing, no, he's just an idiot.
He's the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And you guys helped get him elected. Thanks.
Yeah. And
no, I feel for the mostly men, mostly guys who got into the alt-right in the early days thinking that, but this is before it was really labeled the alt-right, thinking that they were standing up for a really good principle, you know, down with the DNC for blocking the obvious candidate, that kind of thing. But then it got crazy. It got racist. It got misogynist. And these people were left being associated with a group that they didn't feel like they were a part of, but they had already said some stuff that made them a part of the group. So it's like, oh man, undo button, undo.
Yeah.
So I feel for those ones. I feel for those guys. It's never too late to apologize and move on.
Yeah.
Say, oops, I said and did something stupid. How can I help?
Yeah. And if you said or did something stupid, a good place to start is stop being a racist asshole.
Understand your racist, subconscious, racial issues. Yes. And
then actively try to keep those in check.
Yes.
And for a genuinely happy story, Africa has now been declared free of wild poliovirus.
That's awesome. So that's awesome.
Yeah. That leaves Syria.
Fuck.
Which only have to end a civil war there to get rid of that one.
We think the U.S. is bad. That, goddamn.
Now, 4 years ago, it was down to just Nigeria. One country. And the reason why it continued to be a problem in Nigeria was Boko Haram.
Yeah.
It was a active Islamic insurgency and civil war in the country that specifically targeted vaccination workers. And by specifically targeted, I mean murdered.
Yeah.
If you went to northern Nigeria to give vaccines, you would be killed.
But they're okay now?
It has taken a lot of work. But they continued to slowly and quietly work on expanding the program. And 4 years ago, they had the last recorded case of wild poliovirus.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it took 4 years of no wild poliovirus to declare it eradicated.
That's so awesome.
Now, the reason why I keep using the term wild poliovirus.
Yeah.
There are several current vaccine poliovirus outbreaks in Nigeria.
How bad are those?
Not bad.
Okay.
Because for
polio in name only kind of thing, or is it still like crippling people?
It's not crippling people.
Okay.
Wild poliovirus causes permanent disability and a large and death in quite a lot of people. The numbers from 1995 was killing, no, 1996, paralyzing 75,000 children across Africa that year alone.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
The polio vaccine in countries where it's eradicated is inactive because you only need to vaccinate the children that are getting it, and that's good lifelong vaccination, you're fine. For where it's still endemic, the type of vaccine they use is a live weakened strain of the virus that is intended to infect the population.
Okay.
So you vaccinate all of the four-year-olds, and they will poop and contaminate the city's water supply, and it will spread to everybody else just like wild poliovirus would, and it will, in the process, end up vaccinating everyone in the population against polio.
With a much lighter...
Much lighter.
Case. Okay.
So, kind of like you get a cold instead of...
Right. The crazy anti-vax people, yeah. when they say, you know, that the vaccines cause diseases, they're not wrong. In some of the cases, in this case.
In the cases they talk about, they are wrong.
Okay. It's the ones who are borderline. You know, the ones who are like, well, I heard, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I heard vaccines can spread the disease. It's like, that's by design. That's a...
And it's a weakened strain.
Yeah, they seem to forget to mention that part.
Yeah. Because, like, there are live virus vaccines. There's not a lot, but the live virus ones are sometimes necessary to cause sufficient immunity.
Yeah, you really only want to go through it once.
Yeah. The smallpox vaccine would make people's arms hurt for weeks and give people moderately high fevers and some blisters. You only knew it worked if they had those symptoms. If they didn't, you'd have to try again.
Ugh.
Because the smallpox vaccine, especially in the before the 60s, was a live cowpox infection.
Right.
Polio vaccination in these cases is very similar. It's drops under the tongue of live virus to infect the population so that nobody gets the real thing.
But they're not doing that anymore in Africa.
They're going to be able to stop those programs now and move to standard vaccines.
Sweet. That's awesome.
What's crazy is we're so close because India has been declared eradicated.
That took a lot.
That was a big one. Syria is what's left. Once it's declared eradicated from Syria, it will have been eradicated from the world, and polio vaccination will be able to stop. It is an eradication program. It was supposed to be done in 2000 with measles following.
So 20 years ago. I wasn't joking.
No, you weren't. It was supposed to be wrapped up 20 years ago. We were supposed to be finishing up eradicating measles now.
Not seeing it pop up again.
Not having new outbreaks and it becoming endemic in countries where it had previously been eradicated.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is, if it doesn't have reservoirs in animals, we can eradicate it. It can be gone and those vaccination programs can end.
And then you won't have to vaccinate.
Yep.
It'd be great. Autism will still be around, but
Yep. You
won't have to vaccinate.
Right. If you don't want the MMR, great. Let's finish getting it to everybody and eradicate those viruses. And then we can stop doing MMR vaccines. We're lucky because once it's done with... Now that once polio is done, then the official global virus eradication target becomes measles. Mm. It hasn't become that yet. All right, so that wraps up the news. All right, I have been doing a terrible job of keeping up with feedback. I don't think we have anything, but we do have a second submission for the contest.
All right.
And for the first submission we got, with what we've been seeing from the Republican convention, you might be onto something.
Yep. It was definitely one of those laugh out loud and then kind of chuckle yourself and then kind of like, oh God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, we're going to keep this open until we have at least enough entries to give out the books.
Yeah, we have enough books.
Keep submitting entries. Who is...
Am I going to have to start calling people out? Danielle? Rebecca? You know? The people I know who listen to this show? Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Worst bum. Come on.
Yeah.
Do it.
Who's the worst bum that is currently revered or worshipped by... an extant world religion, meaning one that is not extinct. Pick your favorite and submit it.
Yeah.
Include some justification why, especially if the person doesn't fit the classical definition of a bum.
Yeah. Bum.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. All right, so that wraps it up for this week. If you want to contact us, you can send us an email at contact@atheistnomads.com, or you can leave us a voicemail using the SpeakPipe button on the website. And you can also use the contact form on the website at atheistnomads.com/contact. And if you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate or go to patreon.com/atheistnomads.
Awesome.
Support is greatly appreciated and helps keep us doing the show.
Yeah, it's great.
So that wraps it up for this week. Lauren, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dustin.
And listeners, remember,
not all who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.